You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Bongani Bigwa
on 702.
Your number one news and talk station.
On 92.7 and 106 FM.
What would you have missed after 6 years of being in captivity in possibly a dark room, completely at the mercy of your captors? When you eat, what you eat, when you drink, what you drink is completely decided by them. They have the power of life or death over you. When you need to go to the bathroom, you have to ask for permission. If you want to stretch, if you want to have, you know, some time to walk, the length of your hair, how often you shower, the access you have to basic things that we take for granted every day, you have not been able to make these decisions for the last 6 years. That is what Steve McGowan has been facing. And you come back to a different world. Barack Obama is no longer the president of the United States. We have somebody who, frankly, in many people's eyes, is unworthy of that office. Somebody who knows very little about the world. You are coming back to perhaps a more dangerous world. You have not heard of the phrases state capture. You don't know what that means. You don't know what the Game of Thrones is. Generations looks different, as Thomas pointed out a little earlier. This is the world he's coming back to. What would you have missed the most? I mean, it's obvious that you would miss your family. It is obvious that you would miss your friends and those that are closest to you. But what about the big events in the world for the last 6 years? Would you have come back to find surprising, to find shocking, to find interesting? Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Of course, many of you are also reacting to the issues surrounding the Klipspruit protests. And it's very simple. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot have buses being burnt, roads being closed, tires being burnt. You cannot have schools being forced to close. This is vigilantism. It's breaking the law. If there are issues, there are ways and means to sort them out. We've heard caller after caller after caller to the station explaining that that race was the issue at the heart of their objections. Others, of course, have decried the process of appointment. Many have even phoned in and said that the SGB was not competent. What are your thoughts around that? We're also taking your calls on that issue. So give us a call. Let us know what you think.
702. 702. Bongani Bigwa.
Wrapping up your day.
But as we wait for your calls and as we look at that issue, I suppose somebody who remains quite a hero to many South Africans. She's written an article in which she says, well, she spoke, in fact, and she's saying it's not too late to save our democracy. That's the former public protector advocate Thulima Donsela. She says those who've been mentioned in the Gupta leaks need to be held to account for the role they played in the capture of the state. And I'm glad to say she welcomes us now. We welcome her right now on the phone. She's the patron of the Tuma Foundation. Advocate Thulima Donsela, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Good afternoon, Bongani, and good afternoon to the listeners. Thank you for the opportunity.
The Gupta email revelations have revealed even more than we knew since the release of your State of Capture report last year.
That's true. They have provided more evidence of a relationship with many people in government, between them and the Gupta family.
In your investigation, I mean, did you have any sense that it was this bad, that, you know, the rot had gone so far deep?
The investigation did, yes, suggest that the rot had gone in very deeply. None of the revelations are entirely true insofar as the extent of the relationship itself. But perhaps in terms of the financial transactions, there's more that has been revealed than what we knew. There's also been people who were mentioned. You see in the list in the State of Capture report, names of people who were mentioned as also having links. But in our investigation, we hadn't gotten to the point then to have any tangible evidence that would link.
Yet in the face of all this prima facie evidence, very little seems to be happening in terms of holding individuals to account.
For me, that's been the shocking part. When the Panama Papers were released, it was an immediate accountability moment. And that hasn't happened. I would have expected a
I'm sorry, Advocate, I'm just going to ask you to turn around. Perhaps we're losing your signal there for a moment. I didn't catch the early part of that answer.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, that's much better.
Right. I was saying that I've also been shocked about the lack of accountability since the emails were made public. I would have thought that Parliament would ask every person who works for government and whose name is mentioned to provide a sworn affidavit indicating if this information is true or not, and to the extent it's true, explain why they were involved in the manner that these emails suggest they were involved. If they say it's not true, to then affirm under oath that it is not true, in which case then the process would be then to verify. They would then be asked to provide their emails. Their emails for the period under which these investigations took place. Also, if, for example, the Gupta emails are saying there was an email from Thandi Dlamini on the 6th of May 2015, we would ask that person to provide their email record in its entirety for that period for us to verify.
I mean, in a sense, you know, I'm no lawyer, but in a sense, what you are saying seems very obvious. It doesn't seem that hard to figure out.
No, it's very obvious, and it's how other countries have dealt with the Panama Papers. As soon as the Panama Papers suggested that people had accounts overseas, people were asked to provide sworn statements to say, I don't have an account, or if they do have an account, to indicate why was that account not disclosed.
When you hear then, you know, law enforcement agencies and leaders in those agencies saying, you know, they can't investigate on the basis of innuendo, what's your reaction?
Well, I haven't heard anyone say that, because that would be strange. There's no innuendo. Firstly, the state of capture report is not an innuendo already. It provides prima facie evidence. And these emails do provide prima facie evidence. All that's needed is the person who's implicated to say yes or no. And when they say no, then to provide their own records then for the exact period under which here they seem to have been part of these emails.
Is it fair to say the state has been repurposed, that pipelines have been created to steal public funds?
The prima facie case emerging from these emails and from the state of capture report does suggest that elements of the state, not the entire state, the broader state is functioning in the way it was designed to function, following the constitution, the laws and policies, and with great human beings and government that go beyond the call of duty to deliver services to humanity. But there are elements within the state that appear to have been hijacked and repurposed, and most of those elements are within state-owned enterprises, such as Eskom, and there's a little bit of Transnet, and a little bit of SABC, which SABC, by the way, the SABC 8 and the board then went for a decapturing process to make sure that the state is brought back to its purpose, which is to serve the people of South Africa.
Many citizens are finding themselves frustrated because we are almost overwhelmed with a deluge of revelation after revelation after revelation. And yet, as you and I both point out, the will to investigate those implicated, particularly at the very top levels of our government, doesn't seem to be there.
I'm glad you're saying the world doesn't seem to be there. People are concerned. Everywhere I go, people do want to see investigations because they don't want to stay with the cloud of suspicion. You know, once an investigation, some of it, most of it would probably be true, but some of it might have a good explanation. The difficulty that can be picked up is institutions such as the Hawks had an opportunity to investigate after the public protector report, which said that if there's any evidence of criminality in this report, that should be dealt with by the relevant agencies. And then now, after these emails came out, we're not seeing action from them, but we do see action from them against those who are seen to be standing in the way of looting. I, for one, am being investigated by the Hawks, which I expect them to be an organized crime unit. On the question of the conversation between me and the president, which was recorded with his consent and was already released in terms of a transcript, there's no reason why a senior organization such as the Hawks would be involved, because it's already known, based on my own admission, that I'm the one who gave the transcript to the Hawks. So what more do you want in an organized crime busting unit such as the Hawks to be doing? The witness or the whistleblower in the Trillium matter has been investigated after Trillium embarked on a counter-strike on her in November last year. Their case has been investigated, and the docket is now with the NPA to decide whether to prosecute or not. One would have expected that then that would have been prioritized, would have been the one that were reported more. But secondly, if we're talking about organized crime, which requires the Hawks, it is the information that we're getting here, that there's a syndicate that is operating to repurpose state institutions or state processes to assist some people to acquire companies, to acquire money, and to acquire licenses within the state.
I have to ask you this. I mean, whilst all of that is happening as a kind of a sideshow, we hear amounts being mentioned in the billions. What does this ultimately cost the Gogo Dlaminis, whom you always said you were fighting for?
It costs a lot, and I think in the media or those who are working against state capture, it's going to be important to have that conversation at the level of everyone, at the level of Gogo Dlamini, to say, if, for example, it's true that there was 80-something million rand that was siphoned in the Trillium matter to Dubai and then came back, part of it came back as laundered 30 million rand, which paid for the Gupta wedding. What would we have paid for to help Gogo Dlaminis with 30 million? How many hospital X-ray hospital machines could we have bought? How many SIM intensive units could have been equipped? What could we have done in terms of school needs? And what could we have done in terms of fees must fall? We do need to quantify every allegation of stolen public money in terms of what would that money have bought? Because at that stage, then we bring it to the level of every Gogo Dlamini to understand what's in it for them. If this money goes away, what do I lose? If we claw back that money, what do I gain?
Let me ask you this. Can you comment about some of the reports whose investigations began under your tenure that have now been released by your successor?
Well, I really can't comment about reports released by my successor. It's her job to investigate and release based on how she has found the truth and telling it to the best she knows how. As a predecessor, it's a matter of good manners, really, not to judge your successor. There's enough of a legal profession out there in other institutions that can judge the performance of a public institution.
How crucial is it to be a competent jurist if you are the public protector?
It's extremely important. Your level of experience should be the kind of person who's good enough to be appointed as a constitutional court judge or a Supreme Court of Appeal judge. In fact, our job level as a public protector is at the level of a constitutional court judge and a judge of the CA. So your appreciation of the law and your ability to find facts is extremely important. But it all boils down to your having been able to do similar work before your job as a public protector.
All right. Patron of the Tuma Foundation and the former public protector, Advocate Tuli Madonsela. Thank you for talking to us.